Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Veteran Spotlight for World War II gets rolling today and goes throughout the week. Before we get to all of that, though,
I'm looking at Kale. He's just.
I'm so frozen.
He's frozen.
Some people say I never looked better.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's permanently leave that there. Keep that guy in box four. We go four box, we'll keep frozen Kale in there. I'm like cryogenically frozen, like Ted Williams' head. All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05. Not fuzzy, but ready to go. The great Dawn Stensland.
Ready and raring. Good morning, Kale & Company News Live, sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. This Monday morning, November 11th, Veterans Day, which is, a reminder, a federal holiday. We're getting some new details on the attempted murder of a suburban student aboard a school bus. So this update from police, they say that in total, they want to arrest all four suspects, so they're still searching for one suspect who remains on the loose, but they have arrested a total now of three, just arresting two additional suspects yesterday. Those suspects, ages 17 and 20, and they had already caught an 18-year-old, by the way, who goes to the high school, Coatesville Area High School, accused in this situation. So you may recall, and this is a Kale & Company follow-up, we talked about this. It was October 10th, 2:30 in the afternoon, school bus driver transporting those high school students. This is Coatesville Area School District. And suddenly these four gunmen appear. They open fire on the school bus. This was what they're calling a targeted attack, apparently on at least one of the students who was about to get off on his bus stop. So one of the eight bullets that were recovered from the scene or the bus shattered the windshield, shards of the glass striking and injuring the bus driver, who is recovering, expected to make a full recovery, but still a terrifying situation. The student passengers were not injured, but at this point they have two more arrests, 17-year-old, 20-year-old. So the three so far, they're facing charges, not just aggravated assault, but attempted murder.
It's just unbelievable that we could have four individuals shooting through. I mean, think how big that glass windshield is on a school bus, right? That thing is massive. And nobody was killed?
Yeah. It's a miracle, really.
We should be so thankful that we have such bad aim in this city.
Oh my God.
With all the shootings you talk about, and those that don't get killed.
There's a lot of bad aim.
You're 100%
correct.
So they're still looking for that fourth suspect. They haven't named who they're looking for, but it sounds like they now know maybe the other three are talking.
Mm-hmm.
So they hope to make that. But all of these, you know, a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old. So at least one of them was until this, a student at the high school.
Yep.
These, you know, they're throwing the book at them. These are suburbanites. And they're charging them with attempted murder, aggravated assault, all these other charges.
Good. Hit them with everything under the sun.
We know that it's been quite a traffic nightmare if you're in the area of the main line, City Ave in Bala Cynwyd. And that's because a woman was struck and killed by a vehicle. This was a hit and run. Police say the woman was in a wheelchair early this morning. She was leaving the Taco Bell right near Conshohocken State Road. So City Ave closed in both directions right near Conshohocken Road as police are investigating this deadly situation. We just know that the woman was a middle-aged woman. That's the only information. Police active in searching for a dark blue SUV last seen heading south on City Avenue as they investigate.
Awful.
Tragic.
I mean, it should be, that's what they would call mitigating and aggravating factors. I mean, when you, it's bad enough that you do that to somebody that can, quote, defend themselves, but to do that to somebody in a wheelchair,
Yeah, and to your point, Nick, they always say that if the person stays on this, obviously, if somebody's passing and it's obviously dark and it's a rainy morning, you know, if a person stays on the scene, then it's a different story. So yeah. they're encouraging this person in a dark blue SUV, turn yourself in. It'll go better for you. You know, is maybe, I don't know what the excuse could be from this person, but it always goes better. The longer that you let it go, you know, it looks worse, and then the charges increase.
And you're saying that's on City Ave right by Conshohocken State. I've got to imagine I actually think I know where that Taco Bell is. I might have frequented that place back when I was doing sports over in Bala. I mean, I've got to imagine that there's traffic cams. That vehicle is probably going to get picked up on some sort of surveillance.
Yeah, so better to turn yourself in if you happen to be listening. We've been talking this morning about the investigation still underway after Philadelphia police said they shot and killed a carjacking suspect. So this man shot and killed by Philadelphia police officers. It happened last night. So this man, it all started with a domestic dispute report of shots fired at a home on the 5400 block of Chancellor Street. Apparently that home is that of a woman, perhaps an ex-girlfriend. I don't know if there's any kind of an order of protection against this particular man, but they were receiving 911 calls about the disturbance at the home and concerned about the woman there on Chancellor Street. Police pull up, and in this case, they see that this man, they hear about the fired gunshots inside the home. Now they say they see the male suspect at gunpoint confronting a victim and carjacking that pickup truck driver's vehicle at gunpoint. The suspect, 47-year-old suspect, takes off in the carjacked vehicle, and then later that there was a confrontation between police and the carjacking suspect, 52nd and Woodland. And at that point, the suspect, armed, jumps out of the vehicle and, according to police, was pointing his firearm, threatening at officers. I don't know if he fired and they returned fire. I don't have those details. It's all under investigation, obviously.
Okay.
No police officers injured, no residents at the original location. Kind of multiple locations to talk about here, but, you know, in these, we hate to hear about these, that it ended in this way. But as far as police coming to protect the woman, the community, no officers hurt, nobody else injured in that one. So those are the updates there. We're watching SEPTA, the SEPTA union, obviously transport union workers. They had agreed and still this morning, they're agreeing to come to work despite the fact that they are now officially they're working without a contract. That expired 11:59 Thursday night, stroke of midnight, boom, as of Friday, no contract. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now here we are Monday. So they've already authorized the strike. So will they go on strike? We don't have that information. They're still in talks.
Okay.
So hopefully they get her done. I don't know if you want national headlines from me, but Bob Casey, I'll just say this, and it's making national news. Even though everybody has said that Dave McCormick won the United States Senate race as the Republican in Pennsylvania, McCormick holding that news conference Friday mid-morning, Senator Bob Casey, who was by all accounts defeated, is not conceding this and is still fighting this in court. At least 37, McCormick winning this by at least 37,000 votes.
Yeah, I also have the story in front of me about the way Chuck Schumer's playing hardball. Schumer will not allow Dave McCormick to attend the Senate orientation, which is coming up in about a week, or I think this week at some point, because of the, quote, outstanding ballots that are still out there. So you got McCormick's dealing with it on both ends, you know, at the local level against his opponent, and then, you know, all the way up to the top with Schumer.
Yeah, and I'm looking, it's actually by 39,000 votes.
Uh-huh.
So they're still going through counting every single last ballot.
Yep.
The only thing I'll say is that, because you go, well, is this consistent across the country? We talked about last week, Nick and Greg, that there were races that were tighter than this one. Wasn't it a Democrat in Michigan? It was actually this case is a wider margin where Dave McCormick wins by, and yet everybody was easy to say, nope, the Democrat won, let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This one, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that as far as Schumer and the Senate. Remember that this Wednesday, a really big day as far as Mitch McConnell, who will succeed him, that three-way race. I know we'll talk about it. I'll just headline it for you. And then Donald J. Trump, as he's working on his transition team,
mm-hmm.
names a new border czar. That's another headline. A lot of Trump headlines this
morning. Tom Homan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the former ICE director,
yes,
or was a part of Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. Yeah.
Spoke out a lot.
A border czar that'll actually go to the border and do border work. Novel concept. And you mentioned, Mitch McConnell. A lot of people want to see Rick Scott from Florida become the succession plan to Mitch McConnell. So, see how that plays out.
Yeah. Will it be Thune? I don't think it's going to be Cornyn. So we'll see.
Also, Elise Stefanik getting mentioned as a possible UN ambassador for Trump.
I think she's been named that.
Is that official?
I believe so.
I saw that was floated out there. Okay. Very good.
So this Wednesday, this is the big day with Trump coming to the White House, meeting with President Joe Biden, and a lot of, you know, talk about Ukraine and other things, but they're making that transition. All of this happening this week, yes, in D.C.
Hey, but by the way, too, as far as Casey goes, I was reading about him over the weekend, and him and his dad and the whole family. They have been in some form or fashion, kind of, quote, in power for 37 years. If you remember, old man Casey was the governor from 87 to 95. And Bob Casey, he's been in some form of office since 1997. I mean, my God, like you talk about not giving up on the stranglehold that family and the power they've had in Pennsylvania politics. Well, my sister was born in 87. These people just don't go away.
I think it was wise. The campaign against Casey Jr. was wise because they said he, over the years, like painting him as a career politician, he changed.
Yeah.
It was a nice way to word it because obviously his father considered the last pro-life Democrat,
yep, right,
governor, highly respected,
mm-hmm,
by people on both sides. And so that was an astute way to paint him, to get people to say, well, let me look at his voting record a little bit.
Yep.
But I don't know. Will he concede by Thanksgiving? I mean, our friend Linda Kearns, she had, I think, the best social media post. She said, you know, if Casey had worked this hard during his tenure as he's working, you know, to overturn this thing in the, yeah, courts and so on, maybe he'd still, yeah, you know, maybe would have been reelected again.
Sir, count him again. Sir, we've counted him three times.
Oh, my gosh.
You're short. Do it again.
Well, we have even though we started out rainy, much needed rain, obviously, but we will clear out for a sunny day, 70 degrees. Enjoy it today, much cooler tomorrow and for the rest of the week. American Heritage Credit Union sponsoring our 7 a.m. edition here in Kale & Company News Live. Ready to buy a home with American Heritage Credit Union's Home Connection. Get cash rewards, lower mortgage rates, and discounts. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/HomeConnection. Insured by NCUA, not a member. Join NMLS 433838. Thank you, American Heritage Credit Union, for sponsoring us, especially on this day where we're kind of basking in the glow of that great Eagles win. Eagles! Kale & Company
News. Sorry for that. I was frozen and my head was frozen and I was on a delay. Thank you very much, Dawn.
We're completely off YouTube now.
So. Oh, we're completely off.
Yeah. What did we do?
Yeah, we said
I don't know any other show that has this many technical problems.
That's still
maybe it's a compliment. It's the Russians.
Yeah, it is. Could be.
I don't know. I see other shows. They get up on YouTube and they're fine. They do their show. They're fine.
Could be Caroline and Manioc. I don't know. By the way, speaking of denying and the Casey situation, the latest Economist YouGov poll with 1,590 registered voters after the election asked about a variety of topics. Only 53% of Harris voters accept the fact that Trump will be the legitimate president of the United States. 47% saying illegitimate, even though he won not only the Electoral College with 312 votes, but the popular vote by millions of votes. Just wanted to pass that along. 855-839-1210. We'll grab a call here. Let's go to Columbus, New Jersey. Joe's back with us, and Joe is gone. Let's go to Ray.
Joe's there.
I heard a dial tone. Let's try Joe again. Joe, are you with us?
I would never hang up on you guys. Good morning.
Beautiful, Joe. How are you?
Good. Guys, not that she needs any addressing, but I would like to address that Mensa member, Carolyn. Does she realize that if she worked for FEMA and she willfully caused ill harm to someone, she would be the convict she's accusing Donald Trump of being at this moment? She's an angry blob of cells, and I give you guys credit for even accommodating her and her anger.
Yeah, I let her have her piece, and then it's a mixed tag match with mixed gender. So I rushed over to the turnbuckle and I tagged in Dawn, and Dawn came in and hit her with the steel chair.
And Dawn, you took her on well. I just feel like a defensiveness for you guys, where, you know, I got to drive the point home. Not that you need it, but I got to drive the point home even further. She's disgusting.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. But we take them in any shape, any form, any variety. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your calls. So if you're on hold, hang tight. Cut Sheets coming up at 7:45. And then also in the world of football, from Oregon University to the San Francisco 49ers, how Donald Trump and politics have bled into your Saturday and Sunday of football viewing and the way the media has decided to cover that political sports cross-section. We'll hit on that before the cut sheet, coming up 7:45. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this.
If this has ever happened to you, it has happened to me. It's the creepiest thing when you realize that your personal information is being used by somebody, one of these creepy sites, and your name, your image, or maybe your family member. It's the creepiest thing ever. It has happened to me. And at the time that it happened to me, I wish I had DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro. With DuckDuckGo's Privacy Pro subscription service, you know what? You have security and peace of mind. For me, I feel that, and it's so important to me. If you want to keep your searches private and out of data profiles, maybe the government, other legal requests, you need to use DuckDuckGo. They don't track you at all. Every time you search on DuckDuckGo, it's as if you've never been there before. I love that. But even moving one step further, the VPN in DuckDuckGo's Privacy Pro subscription service is secure. There's a no logging policy that's very strict, and that means it does not store any data that could connect you to your online activity. It's one of the many reasons I subscribe to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It's a 3-in-1 privacy subscription service. And if you know me, you know that it's idiot proof. It's really easy to use, because that's another piece of it. You're like, I'm not a technical person. How do I do this? All you do, you subscribe to DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro, 3-in-1 privacy subscription service. It protects your personal information from being exploited by those hackers, those scammers, those privacy invasive companies. Plus, you know, it is from DuckDuckGo, which I've used for years. I trust them. I know it's legit. With Privacy Pro, DuckDuckGo's VPN secures my Wi-Fi connection, will secure your Wi-Fi connection. And that means anytime, anywhere. Over the weekend, I was out and about at so many different events, whether it's my son's high school football game. We're out there. What do you do? Up, oh, not a secure connection. And then we're out and about celebrating. We were way out it was past Chester County in Pennsylvania over the weekend, visiting some relatives, stopped in a store. And again, it's tempting sometimes. Even if your phone says no secure connection, you think, oh, well, who's around? Who would ever, you know, hack or exploit my information? They're everywhere. And that's why you need DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro. That's why I love it. They also have identity theft restoration. If your identity gets stolen, God forbid, and that has happened to me too, unfortunately, before I had DuckDuckGo, Privacy Pro is going to help restore your identity after it got stolen. And like I say, personal information removal. And this one is so important. I wish I had this over the years. Privacy Pro is going to help you remove your personal information from those creepy sites that I talked about so that they cannot share it. They cannot sell it. You know, it felt like such a violation back in the day when that happened to me. And so you never want that to happen to you. Get all this for $9.99 a month. All of those things that I just mentioned with the three-pronged approach to protect you for just $9.99 a month. As my listener, you just go to duckduckgo.com/1210. You're going to get an exclusive 7-day free trial on me. Just try it out. I know you're going to love it. Duckduckgo.com/1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Our veteran World War II spotlight, thanks to the great people at Window Nation, as we will start it off today with Leon, who, God bless him, almost 100 years old, and what a conversation it was, and you will hear that coming up shortly, just over 2 hours from now. But let's get to your phone calls in the meantime on a lot of the post-election fallout. We've got Ray in Warminster, who wants to talk about the government's incompetence. Ray, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Well, it's pretty obvious they're incompetent. I mean, they've been doing that for years with, like, you know, targeting people of different political beliefs. I mean, the FEMA thing doesn't surprise me, to be honest with you. What surprises me is they actually admitted it, right?
Yeah.
So that really surprises me. But, you know, I'm just all over the place right now with my mind right now, how some of these people are acting. You know, these women that are withholding sex from their men. I got news for you, honey. I'm the best I ever had, so I don't need you. And why do all these women that do that look like they ran through the ugly force and got hit with every branch? You know what I mean? It's crazy. You know, you're doing us a favor. Get back in your Subaru with your blue hair and go to the local buffet and have yourself a day. You know what I mean?
Get back in your Subaru. Right. Thanks for the call, buddy. Yeah, you know, we talked about that leading up to the election. Remember, we had this story. I think it was like a Dear Jane thing from the Daily Mail that said one of the ladies that emailed or however they submit their submissions said that honey, if you vote for Donald Trump, you might as well just sleep on the couch because you're never going to come near me again. I would love to know how many women are out there in one of these marriages where the husband's a conservative and the woman is a liberal, and they actually not only made the threat, but promised to deliver on the threat. Because I told you that my wife, I had the belief that she was going to vote for Trump, and she refuses to tell me what exactly she did because, you know, they just moved up from Tennessee. So she had to do it because she was still registered in Tennessee, the whole bit. So she couldn't do it here in person. So she submitted the ballot back to Tennessee at her old address and refuses to tell me. And my mother-in-law is also in the dark as to how she voted. And we know my mother-in-law, raging liberal. So if my wife is not telling the mother-in-law, it confirms my suspicion that she did vote for Trump, but she still refuses to tell me. I tried to ask her before. I tried to ask her after. She goes, don't worry about it.
Yeah, she didn't vote for Trump.
Don't worry about it.
She didn't vote for Trump. She's not telling you.
See, but and that's why I really don't know. I think she did, but I don't know because she doesn't want to tell me she voted for Harris, even after the fact now, because, you know, even if she did, I'd be like, whatever, you're on the wrong side, but you lost. You're on the losing side. That's what matters. But if I think she doesn't want to tell me because she doesn't want my head to get any bigger. Because I actually think I coached her up over the last 4 years to look at the nuts and bolts stuff, look at logic and reason, and stop being in feelings. Not that she was ever really political to begin with. I think she was just by default a Democrat, right? Because you're born and raised in a Democrat family. You don't pay attention to it. You're like, oh, yeah, I'll vote Democrat. Okay. Mm-hmm. I really think she did, but we'll see.
Or did she? I wonder if she's one of the people who voted for Jill Stein.
No. I don't think she knows Jill Stein from Ben Stein.
Oh.
No.
All right. Because, I mean, that now we know why they were so freaked out about especially Jill Stein and the two independents, because They took a lot of votes.
Uh-huh. Yep. And I was freaked out about female reproductive rights and abortion. I was. And Charlie wants to comment on that in Philadelphia because he's about to make a really good point. Charlie, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Charlie, you go ahead.
Yeah, it baffles me. What happened to all the abortion rhetoric? That the woman would never get an abortion again if Trump got in there? And all the rhetoric they went through 2 years ago when we were expecting a red wave and it was the red crash. And I just like to say another thing that, who knows, maybe this whole thing was planned this way so Biden and Harris and Pelosi and a few of them could just run away with billions of dollars that were donated to her campaign. Yeah. She supposedly had twice as much money in there as Trump the last couple of weeks of the campaign or something. Where did all that money go? Where is it? You know?
It's a good point, Charlie. You're talking about $640 million for Trump on the campaign trail. Harris had just under $1.2 billion. And now, apparently, they, according to reports, are $20 million in debt. They're having trouble paying off certain vendors. And Stocker sent us this story last night. They paid Oprah $1 million for her support.
Wow, that...
$1 million. Boy, that talk about a bad return on your investment. Jesus, you thought Elon Musk got it wrong with $44 billion on X and losing $22 billion right off the top?
Wow.
Yeah, you gave $1 million to Oprah and it didn't work.
Well, wait, did they get in trouble for paying her $1 million? Because is Krasner charging them or her?
You know? I don't know the fine print. I'd have to look it up and read about that. But that is fascinating. But to Charlie's point, though, I got to admit when I'm wrong. I put too much panic on Roe v. Wade. And it's interesting because I thought it was a credible belief to have when we looked at all of the elections following what happened in June of 2022. And then that fall, you know, every time it's been on the ballot, it's been a winning issue for the Democrats. But I think really at the end of the day, I think a lot of people out there, and that, trust me, there were certainly plenty of women, I think, that did come out and vote as, you know, maybe not just that issue, but on other issues and voted against Trump. But I think the reality was, I think people prioritized and said, you know what, I might not like what Roe v. Wade stands for today, but you know what, at the end of the day, the economy and a few other things probably superseded that, right? So it's interesting in hindsight to look at all of these different exit polls. Right now, the only demographic that I think is where Republicans have to try to do better, even though they won this time around, is with minority females, specifically black females. We saw the non-white voter, quote, category. Trump received 33% of non-white voters. So that includes Latinos, black, you name it, everything under the sun, which was very good. I think Trump did well with black male voters. He got 21%. But Trump's biggest vulnerability is with black female voters, which only accounted for 7%. If they can improve on that number moving forward in the post-Trump era of Republican politics, watch out. 855-839-1210. All right, let me wrap up one last call. Our buddy Ed in Del Ran with some thoughts on FEMA. Ed, you go right ahead, buddy.
Nick, Dawn, and Greg always keep me informed because they don't want the beaches stormed.
Right, like Normandy. You're damn right, Ed.
There you go.
Yes.
So anyway, listen to this. I got a couple good ones for you. Number one,
go ahead.
Fox News right now is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for Veterans Day. They're at a veterans diner, mm-hmm. and a friend of mine lives 10 minutes down the street. He's originally from Del Ran. He's going to go to that diner, and I said, I'm recording it, so let me know what time you're getting on there. And by the way, happy Veterans Day to everybody.
Yes, well said. But here's what he needs to do at that diner, because I believe Ainsley Earhart is there reporting live. He needs to go up.
Correctamundo.
Yes, correctamundo. I need that on the board, Jimmy. Correctamundo should be a drop. I need him to yell, Kale and Company, free speech lives here. Try to get
all right, as soon as we get done with the call, I'll send them the message.
Please. With all due respect to the veterans and with all due respect to the people that are just trying to have a breakfast, he needs to shout Kale and Company 1210 WPHT. We need him to photobomb that.
So, Nick, I got one more for you. Imagine if the Trump administration told FEMA, hey, there's a Biden-Harris at that sign. So let's, or not a Biden-Harris, a Kamala and Walz sign there. Don't help those people. Imagine how the media would freak out in this country. You know, the lamestream media,
yeah,
folks?
Yeah, it would be an indictment. There would be an impeachment. There would be a House investigation. The whole bit would happen. But, Ed, again, tell them. Kalen Company, 1210, free speech lives here. I want Fox News to pick that up on their hot microphones.
All right, I'm going to send him the message right away.
I'm going to let you go. You do it right now. Thank you, Eddie. There he is.
By the way, we're back up on YouTube.
Hey!
Hey, hey.
Dawn's not fuzzy, and I'm not frozen.
Oh, my God.
Ed's working on his next rhyme.
Fuzzy and frozen.
I feel like Ed and Del ran.
Your new morning show, Fuzzy and Frozen.
Fuzzy and Frozen.
Just like those Never Trumper women that
that's right.
referred to earlier.
It's Kamala and Company.
Oh, that's not right. That's not right.
Cold as ice.
Yeah. So everybody get back on over to YouTube.
Perfect timing just for the cut sheet.
Wow.
Right?
I hate to break it to people, but we may get flagged again because we have a lot of...
What did you do?
We have a lot of SNL stuff, 60-minute stuff, stuff that is copyrighted that is definitely going to get us flagged.
Yeah, head on a swivel. Get your app, get your YouTube, get your
just
radio.
Just go back and forth.
Yeah, just bob and weave.
Bob and weave.
Bob and weave,
baby.
Three platform weave, we call it.
Yeah.
It's Kalen Company. A lot of good stuff still on the way. The cut sheet is up next.
Yeah, but first, hang on, Kale. Can you hold on a second?
He's gonna throw away.
I'm wearing my
what
Eagles.
You got, FanDuel?
Yes, I do.
You know what I figured out? I'm wearing my Eagles green today.
Yeah.
Because we beat the Cowgirls.
Yeah.
34-6.
I got the FanDuel app on my phone as well. I got no money in there.
All right.
But I got
Do you like anything for tonight's Monday night game?
Yeah, actually, I do. I've got the Rams are a 2.5-point favorite against the Dolphins, and the over under is 48.5. I'll tell you what, with Tua back, I like points tonight. I go over 48.5.
Okay. Yeah. Look at that. Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Points.
Yeah. I like points.
Cap off the NFL week with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. You can take that bet from Nick Kale, plunk down $5 on tonight's game. How about this? Three-leg same-game parlay for tonight's Monday night matchup. Cooper Kupp for an anytime touchdown. The Dolphins money line at +120. And Tua for the under passing yards. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
He was a naval officer from 1943 to 1967, 24 years of service, and he is still sharp as a tack. I know like the Democrats and the media tried to say that Joe was still with it, and that was not true, but I can attest to the fact that Leon is still with it and still humming and still kicking today. So you will hear that great conversation coming up at 9:40 this morning. But right now, let's get to a Monday edition. It's my favorite edition. It's What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Monday? Sponsored by Cherry Hole Volvo right now. Lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Relationships really do matter at Cherry Hole Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Dawn mentioned this earlier in the 7 o'clock news, starting here with Cut 21, Sean. So Donald Trump announced on social media late last night that the acting director of ICE and current Fox News contributor Tom Homan, will serve as the new border czar. former ICE director and stalwart on the border control, Tom Homan, will be joining the Trump administration in charge of our nation's border, including but not limited to the southern border, the northern border, all maritime and aviation security. Trump wrote in a post on his Truth social app just before midnight on a Sunday. So people are saying, people in the listening area are saying, ah, who's Tom Homan?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back into the Wayback Machine and hear him testifying. Being questioned by AOC. Cut 21, go.
Mr. Homan, your name is on this. Is this correct?
Yes, I signed that memo.
So you are the author of the family separation policy?
I am not the author of this memo.
You're not the author, but you signed the memo.
Yes, a zero tolerance memo.
So you provided the official recommendation to Secretary Nielsen on family, for the United States to pursue family separation.
I gave Secretary Nielsen numerous recommendations on how to secure the border and save lives.
But it says here that you gave her numerous options, but the recommendation was option three, family separation.
What I'm saying, this is not the only paper where we've given the Secretary numerous options to secure the border and save lives.
And so the recommendation, of the many that you recommended family separation.
I recommended zero tolerance.
Which includes family separation.
The same as it is with every U.S. citizen parent gets arrested when they're with a child.
Zero tolerance was interpreted as the policy that separated children from their...
If I get arrested for DUI and I have a young child in a car, I'm going to be separated. When I was a police officer in New York and I arrested a father for domestic violence, I separated that father from his family.
Mr. Holman, with all due respect, legal asylees are not charged with any crime.
When you're in the country illegally, it's violation 8 United States Code 1325.
Seeking asylum is legal.
If you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry, do it the legal way.
Now, what a concept. I believe last Friday on this show, we were talking about the whole separation of parent from child, and I think I used the analogy of if Kohl's closes at 9 o'clock and I go in and decide to rob them at 10 o'clock, it's illegal for me to be in Kohl's after closing time, right? And I said, well, is it going to be a bad look if they put me in jail? But I've got kids. Don't separate me from my kid. The bottom line is if you break the law, I don't give a damn if you have a kid or not. You shouldn't have broke the law. You shouldn't have done something that is illegal, like entering a place that you should not be in. If you seek asylum the proper way, nobody's against that, right? Vivek Ramaswamy laid it out in the Big Take this morning. Legal immigration, an immigration system that is done the right way. Boy, I tell you what a stark difference this is going to be with Tom Homan versus Alejandro Mayorkas. And do you think we're going to have that clip where you think Tom Homan's going to go on 60 Minutes with Bill Whitaker and say, yes, I haven't been to the border, but I haven't been to Europe either. You think that's going to fly? Like, oh, I'm sorry, that was Kamala that said that.
One more. He was interviewed by 60 Minutes just not too long ago, this is how that turned out. Cut 22, Phil, go. Sean.
We have seen one estimate that says it would cost $88 billion to deport 1 million people a year.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Is that what American taxpayers should expect?
What price do you put on national security? Is that worth it?
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
Oh my God!
Boy, this guy.
Yikes!
So you know what the spin is now, right? We've seen it there in two clips: the media and people like AOC, Democrat left wingers, and the media. The whole angle will be separation of parent from child. That's what they'll do to tug at heartstrings, right? And Tom Homan looks like a guy, by the way. A, you don't want to mess with him, and B, he doesn't take any crap, right? So, what's the price for national security? What's the price on preventing a loved one, a female, from being the next Lake and Riley? I don't know that you can put a price tag on that. And I don't know that it's necessarily $88 billion per 1 million illegal immigrants per year. But you know what? Sometimes you got to crack some eggs to make an omelet, right? And it's sad that it might actually fall back on the taxpayer dollar. But what do you want? You want them here? Or do you want to pay a little more money to get them out? I think I know what my answer is.
Man, this guy ain't effing around, isn't
no,
he?
No nonsense.
No, he's not. He's ready to go.
Well, get ready for the cruel and unusual comments coming your
oh,
way.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Kids in cages.
Oh, here it comes.
Crying babies.
Here it comes, yeah. Yep.
Since we're in the Wayback Machine, let's stay in the Wayback Machine, shall we?
Yep.
This is from almost a year ago, November of 2023. Stephen Colbert interviewed Barbara Streisand, and she promised if Trump became president that she would leave the United States. Sean, can you play cut 7, please?
You've known and supported a lot of political figures. You're friends with the Clintons.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into you dating Pierre Trudeau, but you have politicians in more than one country, shall we say. What do you make of the political climate of the United States now?
Bad. Well,
I like Biden. Mm-hmm. I like Biden. I think he's done a good job. I think he's compassionate. He's smart. He supports the right things.
How do you feel about the specter of a second Trump administration?
I will move. I can't live in this country if that's if he became president.
So where would you go? Where would you go?
Probably to England.
England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like England.
I like England too.
Bye-bye.
No, yeah. I actually don't like England.
Yeah, maybe go to France.
About that. With the rest of the people who tuck their tail between their legs and run.
Yeah. You go to
Nation
Canada.
Cowards.
Go hang out with Trudeau.
Yeah.
Go down to Mexico and, you know, see how long you last with the cartels. You know what? On second thought, here's what we should do. We find the biggest airplane we can find. Or, you know what? If a plane can't fit everybody that's made this claim and this promise to leave the United States of America if Trump is president for a second time, we get a huge cruiser, a big yacht.
Yeah.
Like one of those big Carnival Disney cruises. And we load it up like the Titanic, right? And we just ship it off to the Middle East. And we let them dock right in the port of Gaza. And then they can hang out with Hamas. Go.
None of these people are going anywhere, guys.
Nobody, of course they're not. By the way, Fox News had a, quote, expert on to say that it's not going to happen, that these people will not leave. And they branded it like this guy was an expert on people saying that they're going to leave the country and not leaving the country when something does happen. I didn't know you needed to be an expert to figure that out.
That's amazing. this is a Princeton professor, Eddie Glau Jr. He had a mental breakdown on MSNBC on why Trump won. He says it's because white children aren't on Cheerio commercials anymore.
This is a Princeton professor, Ivy Leaguer. Okay. Cheerios. So we've now resorted to Fruit Loop cereal.
So as you're eating your breakfast this morning, if that's what you're doing right now, hopefully you have off today, by the way. By the way, back up on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, streaming live. Please migrate over there because I get, you know, I get agita.
Migrate. You know? Migrate the key word. But do it legally, folks. I'm all for legal migration.
Earlier, Nick instigated some ladies' mud wrestling. I did find exclusive video of that. So I put that out there. I'm being silly.
Beautiful. I'm silly every day.
Cut one, Sean, go.
There's this sense, right, that whiteness, right, is under threat. The demographic shifts. The country isn't what all of these racially ambiguous children on Cheerios commercials are confusing the hell out of me.
Right? Eddie, a lot of people voted because their life's too damn expensive. And it was here, and it was...
They voted for... You're telling me, Stephanie, that all of these people who believe that their lives are... That bread is too high and eggs are too high, that they voted for a convicted fella, a guy who said we can grab the pea.
I think that a lot...
They voted for this guy.
I'm not defending it. But I think there are tons of people that don't pay attention to, and I'm not defending it, don't pay attention to politics at all. But while we live in the most prosperous country in the world, people are saying, life's not fair, I'm not doing well, my son's still living in the basement, I can't seem to get a job, I don't like the status quo, I'm voting for something else, and he was the
person. I love you to life, but I do not believe that. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that. And the reason I think you believe it is because you don't want to believe that that's what's really motivating them. It's always the case. People don't want to believe what the country actually is. Because if they believe it, they're going to have to confront what's in them. I don't believe that. They voted for a crook, a person who they know is stealing from, just doing everything to undermine the so-called country that they love. And then they're telling us the BS that it's economics. We know that's not true.
Mm. No, it's the economy, stupid. I would love to have a dissertation with him and sit through a lecture at Princeton. You imagine paying $100,000 a year to hear that? With the guy with purple eyeglasses on. By the way, it looks like Paul Pierce from the Celtics. I didn't know Paul Pierce worked at Princeton now. But no, it has nothing to do with Trump being a felon. By the way, I could say the same thing about entertainers and athletes. Yes, I voted for Trump. He's, quote, a convicted felon, right? I also rooted for Michael Vick with the Eagles after he got out of jail for running an illegal gambling operation and killing dogs. Why? Because I'm an Eagles fan and I want to win a Super Bowl, right? I I still watch Wesley Snipes flicks because Wesley Snipes is one of my favorite actors of all time. Yes, he didn't pay taxes and he went to jail for it. I still like him as an actor. I can separate any crime from the artist, right? I still listen to Michael Jackson music if I'm listening to 80s music on a channel. Yes, he's a pedophile. He's a pervert. He was still a great entertainer. I still like Bruce Springsteen's music, even though he's a flaming liberal. I'm good with it. Our Lady Caroline from Manny Young called it, "You voted for a convicted felon." Okay. And Diddy's a scumbag, but I still like Diddy's music 25 years ago. And if I hear it on the radio, I'll probably still turn it up in my truck. How about that? Novel concept. Oh, my God, these people. And the fact that they don't look at the economy. I mean, Stephen A. Smith said it best. It's not misogyny, it's policy. That, like, this is like losing a football game 50-0. And you turned it over 5 times and your quarterback got sacked 8 times. Yet you're searching for where it went wrong when where it went wrong is right in front of your eyes. Your economic policy sucked. Your border czar was awful. You have 3 wars going on, and violent crime is up because we've seen that they fudge the numbers. And speaking of fudging the numbers, Dawn, every time, once a month, you talk about it, the jobs report. Mm-hmm. The jobs report is a lie every month, and they got to come back and correct it. So the writing's on the wall why Democrats lost. It had nothing to do with the fact that we've got a black kid or an Asian kid on a Cheerio box. Give me a break.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, media elites at the network level who, you know, a driver comes and picks them up in the morning, they go into hair and makeup for at least 2 hours and get all their free, you know, spread of a breakfast that's brought in, and then they make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. The fact that they are obtuse to what's going on or the pain of people, of real people, of working people, it just, they come off as smug and arrogant and out of touch.
Yeah.
Speaking of the economy, 60 Minutes last night went to Northampton County to talk about why, because that is the bellwether county in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania. Sorry, I'm exhausted. In Pennsylvania, wherever that county votes is usually the way Pennsylvania goes, which is usually the way the election goes.
Yep.
They started in Bethlehem. They went to the Nazareth Diner. And for those of you that grew up in that area, know exactly where I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
And then went to a Puerto Rican-owned barbershop.
Yep.
To discuss it, and it all comes down to shocking the economy. Let's start off with Cut 17, Sean.
Political pilgrims seeking a vision of the future travel to Bethlehem.
We're in Bethlehem, which is the heart of Northampton County in eastern Pennsylvania, a county along the Delaware River. Mid-size, couple hundred thousand people, mix of urban, suburban, rural areas, all in a pretty centered location here in eastern Pennsylvania.
And pretty perfect for picking presidents. For 25 years, Chris Borick has been conducting one of the leading polls of Pennsylvania voters. He's a professor of political science at Muhlenberg College, next to Northampton County.
It was an Obama county, then it was a Trump county, then it was a Biden county, and in 2024, it once again is a Trump county.
How did Trump win?
It's a great question. You know, first of all, I think he had the winds on his side here from talking to voters. They're not in a great mood. They're not in a good place. There's lots of good things happening in Northampton County. The economy's good, but they're feeling things in their lives that really trouble them. Housing prices here, grocery prices. I can't tell you how many times when I've talked to people about elections this year, they referenced eggs.
There you go.
So
eggs. They reference eggs.
Eggs.
Interesting.
Simple.
So they went to the owner of the Nazareth Diner there in Pennsylvania, who was raised in a family of Democrats, but this time voted for Trump. This is cut 18. Sean, go.
Yeah, 7:30 we open, 7:30 to 10.
Yeah. Roz Werkheiser was a waitress 25 years ago. Now she runs the place.
My mother used to always say, gotta vote Democrat, you know, they're for the poor people.
You grew up in a Democratic household.
Yes.
But you just voted for Donald Trump.
Yes.
Inflation is down by more than half. interest rates are falling, mortgage rates are falling, wages are going up. Are you not feeling that?
I don't feel it. No, I don't feel it. I don't feel it at all. Everybody I talk to, nobody's wages went up. But we had 4 years of this. I mean, 4 years. Gas was super high. Yes, it just went down now, but the past three and a half years it was up.
That clip is the epitome of this election.
Yes.
Rich elitist Scott Pelley telling her, but this, and this. Every barometer points it up. She's like, I don't care. I'm not feeling it. Okay?
Look at her eyes, though. Yeah. Her eyes, she doesn't say anything to interrupt him.
Yep.
But the way she looks at him is, like, her thought bubble is exactly what Greg Stocker just said.
Yep. If you want to, honest to God, start making legit money every 4 years, go to the Lehigh Valley, do what I did. I wrote about it for Real Clear Politics a month ago. I went to Northampton County, I went to Easton, and I went to Bethlehem, and I spoke to 7 or 8 different voters, and it was more Trump than Harris, but it was close. I think it was 5-3 or 5-3 and 1 undecided. Go to Northampton County and talk to people. They'll tell you who's going to win the election.
Yep.
They get it every single... So forget Alan Lichtman, forget Trafalgar, go to Northampton County, Pennsylvania, and they are the most accurate pollsters alive.
I just... That clip is just... It's...
Yeah. You know, because what it's become is the Democrats have become the party of two fringes. The 1% coastal elites that are not impacted by the fact that eggs went from $1.50 to $3 or $2 or $4 or whatever it is. And then the fringe minority specialty groups like LGBTQ+.
Yep.
So it's 1% and then it's 8% on the other spectrum. And the other 93%, the other 92%, they don't pay attention to.
Yep.
If you just hit the middle of the country, figuratively and literally, you can win an election.
Then he went to Scott Pelley, needed to explain the economy to this barber, this Latino barber who voted for Trump.
And he owns 3 shops.
This is Cut 19, Sean Go.
You voted for whom?
I voted for Donald Trump.
Latinos are 20% of the U.S. population now and the fastest growing community in Northampton County, Pennsylvania. Ronald Corrales opened a barber shop 12 years ago, then a second, now a third. Some of his 20 employees changed their minds about Republicans for the first time.
Democrats would have expected to do really well with Latino voters.
Yes.
Donald Trump made a lot of inroads.
Yes.
In this election, and I wonder why you think that is.
The economy. The economy. I've been talking over the past couple of years to, like, people at one point, they were like, so against him because of the comments or whatever the media was saying. But, you know, a lot of the Latinos are working class people. They have families. You know, they help their families even outside the country as well.
Corrales' late father immigrated from Peru in 1985 and was so thrilled to be in America, he named his son for the president. Today, Ronald finds some common ground with Trump, even on immigration.
We still need immigration, but if we could do it the legal way, and hopefully President Trump will bring some kind of legalization to these immigrants, because there's still a lot of good people out there that they're willing to work and continue dreaming with the American dream.
Speaking to families that live along the U.S.-Mexico border, this has been a cultural and economic relationship on the frontera, like right there in the border area for over 100 years. But it no longer is balanced. This flood of migrants coming across, they feel that it's lawlessness. It's putting tremendous pressure on Border Patrol, first responders, and their families and their municipalities.
It's just amazing, right? Because we played you that clip last week of the guy who hosts and owns a Latino Hispanic radio station in Allentown, and he's there saying that Latino men are sexist because they won't vote for a female because the female belongs in a kitchen. That was his words, not mine. And, you know, it's interesting. That guy's his father came here 39 years ago, was so grateful to come here the right way, names his kid after Ronald Reagan. And now his kid owns 3 barber shops, is doing well for himself, and, you know, doesn't really even pay attention to the noise with Trump. And that's the thing. So many people
like our caller earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, Caroline, they can't get past the noise and the fluff and the clickbait and the sound bites and the, you know, oh, did you see what so-and-so did on Facebook? And actually just look at the substance. And if you can remove emotion and just use logic and rationale, this election should never have been close. And we said going into it that if it was on policy and on issues, it's a blowout. And I think we can now sit here and say on November 11th that it did come down to policies and issues, right?
Yeah, and for Scott Pelley's part, and the reason Roz is giving him the eye, is that when you look up, and these are government statistics. Remember, we had reported this, and the number, there were other numbers that came out just last week that these places like Philadelphia, Detroit, and Dallas pay among the highest. We've suffered among the highest in the nation, inflation with food prices in particular. And so Philadelphia, third highest food inflation of all cities at about almost 12% inflation. Detroit, 14.5%, Dallas, 14%. So that's just, you know, that's just in a couple of years. That's not even over 4 years from 2020. So CBS, Scott Pelley choosing, you know, to your points earlier, choosing to give month over month or year over year other general number. But when you look at food prices in particular, when we talk about eggs and food prices, that had a huge effect on all of these so-called swing states.
Yep, absolutely right.
This Harris advisor floats this conspiracy on what Joe Biden should do for Kamala Harris. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
I did see this. Won't happen. But.
This has got two, Phil, or Sean.
That is my question. I'll start with you.
Joe Biden has been a phenomenal president. He's lived up to so many of the promises he's made. There's one promise left that he could fulfill. Being a transitional figure, he could resign the presidency in the next 30 days, make Kamala Harris the president of the United States.
Whoa.
He would absolve her from being able to from having to oversee the January 6th transition, right, of her own defeat. And it would make sure that it would dominate the news at a point where Democrats have to learn drama and transparency and doing things that the public want to see is the time. This is the moment for us to change the entire perspective of how Democrats.
Okay, this has now jumped from an internet meme to a Sunday morning show.
Jamal's out here right now in the season of House of Cards.
I thought you were going to say, what about the Supreme Court? That's also out there.
Well, the Supreme Court might happen. I don't know if it will, but I think this is something that's.
So, Joe Biden, your thoughts on that possibility?
The hell with that.
What time are we going to do this?
It's not going to be on my watch.
No. You know why it's not going to be? Because I think deep down secretly, he doesn't like Kamala Harris.
Wow.
I mean, could you imagine that? And by the way, too, that I don't think anybody would actually, and I know officially it would go down on the record, nobody would ever acknowledge. And by the way, she shouldn't accept that. If that was offered and proposed to her, if she had an ounce of dignity and self-respect after getting blown out in the, I mean, you lost the popular vote. Yeah. It's almost impossible. So for all the people, you vote, yeah, you know what? More Americans on a raw vote-by-vote basis chose the convicted felon over hope, joy, and change. So for all those people out there, what does that say about your candidate? What does that say about your party right now? Don't judge me. What does that say about you?
By the way, people are now complaining that there's ads being played in the middle of the YouTube stream.
I know.
Still.
Here it comes.
It's frustrating.
Here it comes.
He's going to blow.
I love when Greg blows his lid. Percolate. It's like a teapot.
Let's go to SNL. This was the big question in my mind was how they were going to handle it. Because if you guys remember in 2016 when Trump won last time, it was Kate McKinnon singing as Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
Hallelujah, which was not funny. It was not. So they just did it to prove a point. Did you guys see this? I didn't really get the cold open. This is four. I didn't really get the cold open. Did you guys see this?
I did not, but I didn't see it live. I saw the clip that you sent.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it on social media.
So the cast members are all standing out there.
Okay.
And they are, you know, explaining the election. And then they go into this weird, just play it. Cut four, go.
On Tuesday, Americans went to the polls and elected Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States.
To many people, including many people watching this show right now, the results were shocking and even horrifying.
Donald Trump, who tried to forcibly overturn the results of the last election, was returned to office by an overwhelming majority.
This is the same Donald Trump who openly called for vengeance against his political enemies.
Wow, this is so funny.
Now, thanks to the Supreme Court, there are no guardrails.
Just wait.
Nothing to protect the people who are brave enough to speak out against him.
And that is why we at SNL would like to say to Donald Trump, we have been with you all along.
We have never wavered in our support of you, even when others doubted you.
Every single person on this stage believed in you.
Every single person on this stage voted for you.
Because we see ourselves in you. We look at you and think, that's me.
That's the man I want my future children to look up to.
Just pause it for one second, just because
it's not funny.
We're gonna have to start and stop this a couple times just because of the copyright issues.
And by the way, Jimmy Kelly, if you're listening, come in here. I have to give you this email address so we can get Sean Farish in here at 8:30. I have to give you an email address. So come in here so I can hand you this paper.
I gave it to Sean. We don't have it.
No, Farish hasn't received anything. So make sure we're set up for 8:30. But go ahead. I can multitask. I was watching clips, writing emails at the same time.
So they come out and they give this cold open where they say what they actually want to say, and then they go on farther.
Okay. Yeah,
keep going.
Yep.
Your Honor, we know that you say things that are controversial sometimes, but really you're just speaking the truth. And I hate how the lamestream media, Michael Che, tries to spin it to make you look foolish.
So if you're keeping some sort of list of your enemies, then we should not be on that list.
That guy's calling.
C-H-E, Che.
And if we find out someone here voted for Kamala, we will rat them out so fast.
Like our three disgusting new cast members.
So real quick, left to right, that's Jane Wickline, Ashley Padilla, and Emil Joaquim. You can find their home addresses online. Hail Trump.
But the rest of us, hail Trump, voted for you at least once.
I voted for you 50 times in Pennsylvania.
92% of black women voted for Kamala, but I was one of the proud 8%. For me, it's Brother Donald X. Trump all the way.
And we're so excited to debut our new impression, Hot Jacked Trump.
That's right.
He comes out dressed as Rambo.
Right, it's me, Hot Jacked Trump. They finally got the body right. But from now on, we're going to do very flattering portrayal of Trump because he's, frankly, my hero. And he's going to make an incredible president and eventually king. We love you, buddy.
The bodysuit's actually not bad.
I know.
In summary, all of us at SNL are so excited for Trump 2.0, which is also what I blew on a breathalyzer Wednesday morning.
We can't wait to see what you do with the country this time. I keep waking up in the middle of the night screaming. With joy, of course.
My only regret is that we didn't get to do another January 6th, because I was ready.
Me too.
Colliers.
Worst case scenario, meaning scenario, if our planet falls apart, we can all go to Mars with the other man that we love and trust, Elon Musk.
Dana Carvey is Elon Musk.
Look at the face. Now, see, that's a funny cast member, and the rest of them are not funny. There's your difference.
Check it out, Doc Mega. I run the country now. And Doc is going to be like one of my rockets, you know, they're super cool and super fun. But there's a slight chance it could blow up and everybody dies. Anyway, I'm Doc Mega. See you in the White House. USA! USA!
There you go. there.
So Saturday Night Live was funny from 1975 until about 2002, and then it's been god-awful for just over 20 years. And that, in a nutshell, is why. Because all those cast members, not one of them remotely funny, Carvey incredibly funny, and that's the best angle that they were able to come up with, right? Like, you had, I don't know how long, 4 days to go through that, and I don't know if it's the talent, I don't know if it's the writers, maybe it's a combination of both, but it just doesn't land. I can't believe there's still a waiting list for tickets. How's that possible?
Because they used to just care about, the focus was funny, right? That was it, the funny, to get the laugh. And then they switched to being partisan, you know, very partisan and political.
Yeah.
And so they're not folk. They don't care, I guess.
But make no mistake, they're happy. All of these mainstream media, legacy media platforms, they're happy to have Trump back because Trump's best for their business, right? So Saturday Night Live can try to spin it off like they're not ecstatic, but they get 4 more years of the dude in the jacked up, bodysuit, which is still like low energy compared to our guy coming up 11 minutes from now.
And then Bill Burr was the host, and he did an opening monologue on on the election. This is cuts the three. Sean, go. Cut three. Do we have it?
Cut three. Bill Burr, SNL.
Cut three. There we go.
All right, let's get to what you all want to talk about. All right, ladies, you're 0-2 against this guy. All right, but you learn more from your losses than your wins. So, let's get into the game tape. All right, ladies, enough with the pantsuit. Okay, it's not working. Stop trying to have respect for yourselves. You don't win the office like on policy, you know? You gotta whore it up a little. And go full Hooters, but find the happy medium between Applebee's and your dad didn't stick around. You all know how to get a free drink. Okay? And I know, listen, I know a lot of ugly women, feminists, I mean, don't want to hear this message.
Oh my God.
But just tease them a little bit. Make a farmer feel like he's got a shot.
The lady in the back not laughing.
Over a little bit. I'll be honest with you. I am so psyched that this stupid election is finally over. It was took forever. But you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it took the same duration as any other one.
Everybody knew who they were voting for 4 years ago. And then they just drag you through a year and a half of this stuff. Like, who was sitting there watching the debate, like, still not decided? Two of the most polar opposite people ever. It's like, all right, let's see. What does the orange bigot have to say? How about the real estate agent that speaks through her nose? Oh, this is so difficult. It's like they overlap. I just can't make up my mind. I'll be honest with you. I can't believe Trump didn't win this thing like 4 months ago. You know? I know that's weird for younger people to hear, but like when I was a kid, if you were running for president and you got shot and you didn't die, that was the end of the election. There was nothing you could say, right? Everybody would just be like, this guy's the man. He is the king. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I think the number one reason like Trump survived is all those herky-jerky movements that he does. You just can't, like, nail the guy down. I gotta be honest, the guy is a lunatic. I mean, he literally got shot and immediately jumped back up and started yelling in the direction the bullets were coming from, unarmed. That's not a sane human being. I would have been on the ground crying in the fetal position. Like,
me too.
All right, give me the truck. I don't want this job anymore. Just tell her she won.
I would have tapped
out. But Trump's got all those weird, you know, coming out. I think the guy couldn't get, like, a bead on him, you know? And, like, right as he pulled the trigger, like, Trump was just like, and Sleepy Joe! And the bullet went by his head. My favorite part of the campaign, though, was when Trump went to McDonald's.
Yep.
Wasn't that amazing? That's the only time I've ever seen that guy truly happy. Like, he was glowing. When he got behind... behind the counter. It was like he was behind stage at like Springsteen or something. He's like, oh my God, this is like where they make the French fries. And he was sticking a couple of extra in one. He goes, hey, whoever gets this one's going to be excited. It's like, oh my God, was that empathy? Other people, Donald? It's like when the Grinch came down the hill bringing the toys and his heart got a little bigger. All right. Well, then.
That's pretty good. That's really good right there. Yeah, another outsider that's funny that, you know, can't relate to the cast because they're not funny. But the thing is, we talk about relatability. And I said the McDonald's thing was going to be huge. And, you know, if I know not everything is about social media, but, man, you still go on social media, the amount of GIFs and memes and screenshots of Trump there, especially the one where he's leaning out the drive-thru window and he's got the hand up and he's waving. Like, this is what it's come down to, but that's the thing. You got to adapt to the environment and the conditions. And in 2024, the viral moments are what matters. It's the small attention span crowd, right? Like, a lot of people have been saying the thing that sunk Kamala Harris was when she was asked, would you have done anything differently? I think, believe it or not, the person that might have totally nuked Kamala Harris's campaign.
Sonny Hostin. I know.
Yes.
Yep.
With the question.
Yep.
She's the one that did Kamala in because Kamala had the most awful answer of all time. No, nothing comes to mind. Wouldn't change a thing, really. Really?
And that commercial just aired constantly.
Yep.
Yep. Joe Rogan said that he had heard from Dana White that Elon knew 4 hours before it was announced that Donald Trump won the election because he created an app that could tell him this.
I saw this. I'll save my answer.
Okay. All right.
Could he share that with Bob Casey so he just concedes?
Bob Casey has that. Bob doesn't do apps.
cut five, go.
Then I was texting people like Tulsi and J.D. Vance. I was getting a different up. Apparently, Elon created an app and he knew who won 4 hours before the results. So as the results were coming in, four hours before they called it, Dana White told me, Elon was like, I'm leaving, it's over, Donald won. He just fucking, he just somehow or another.
I'm going to go back into my like pod and evaporate.
I don't know what he's getting, where he's pulling his data from, but he had like the most accurate data in terms of the rural states hadn't put their results in yet, but yet Trump was ahead in these states. Kamala's never going to win those states, so tabulated that and like put it all together. I don't know how he did it.
But yeah,
Dana. I haven't even talked to Elon about this. I don't know like the Dana translation, but Dana said he had an app, and he was like showing him. He's like, it's over. Dude just left.
It's over.
So I have heard that for years the networks drag it out as long as they can for the sake of television ratings. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know. And maybe he does, and maybe it's just above my comprehension. I mean, Elon Musk is significantly more intelligent than I'll ever be. I don't know how he would create an app and know the results. I mean, what time did the results come in? Roughly 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning? Give or take, that was the ballpark, I think, in the middle of the night, early into Wednesday morning. So you're telling me at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning that Elon Musk knew the results already, legitimately?
I mean,
results that nobody in America has seen publicly?
I don't know.
I have my doubts about that, but if he does know that, I'd like to get that app myself. I'd actually pay for that app. I got to be up at 4 in the morning. Yeah. I'm going to download that app for the 2028 election.
Just a temporary escape to paradise. This is the Italian Riviera. Yeah, this is a gastronomical event. We're off with only conservative tours delivering this one. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in Italy, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, $53.78, yes. That includes your airfare, $53.78, dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494 or you can go to conservativetours.com, scroll down, you'll see the full itinerary and pictures of some of these incredible places we're going to visit together. Hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan. We will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
When we talk about this past election, I just wanted to give out a couple of numbers here on the spending. So apparently reports that Kamala Harris, with her $1.2 billion, they actually spent $582 million on their staff. Donald Trump's campaign spent $10 million on staff. And then when you look back on these last 3 years and 11 months, especially when we talk about the economy, right? Kamala Harris was going to fix the economy for you. Staggering numbers. Some of these we already know. $7.5 billion to date spent on EV charging stations. 2.5 years later, that $7.5 billion has gotten us 7 stations installed. Only one of them operational. $42.5 billion during the Biden-Harris administration spent on rural internet service. 3+ years later, not one home connected. And $1.4 billion is the final number for their campaign advertising allocation. And they lost the election, and they are $20 million in debt. So just some staggering ways in which you can shoot through a lot of money and still come up with a result that you did not desire. But that is that. All right, we continue 8:38 here on this Monday with Stocker's Cut Sheet Part 2.
This is a lunatic who says because of the election results, she wants people to start wearing masks again.
What?
Let me guess. That'll really stick it to those who don't like masks. Let's trigger them.
Easiest and most effective form of protest you have right now?
Yeah.
That you can start immediately? Put a mask back on.
Put a mask
back on.
Stop letting them observe your face. And have the side benefit of better health. And protecting the rest of us in the world. Mm. Put a mask back on. Government.
Yeah, F the government.
F the government.
I agree. That's the only thing we agree on is F the government. I'm with you on that. We already know that the mask doesn't really do any good for you. But look, if you want to use your COVID-19 mask or your Under Armour mask or your Adidas mask or your, whatever piece of cloth you want to throw across your face, you're not triggering me. I mean, who I voted for won the election. You're probably doing me a favor anyway. I'm going to see the mean scowl across your face for the next 4 years. So as far as I'm concerned, wear it till you die. Knock yourself out. Whatever floats your boat.
This Yale psychiatrist advises MSNBC viewers to break off ties with family members who voted for Trump and refused to see them during the holidays.
Agreed. No Christmas gifts for the Trumpers. Nothing. Coal in your stocking you shall get.
Yeah, and we know that there's been a vast increase since the election, 700% increase in calls from LGBTQ youth to the Trevor Project, which offers a phone online chat or text to people. 700% increase in calls, texts, and chats compared to prior weeks. So people are scared, but they don't know what's going to happen to them. But I wonder if also, are people challenged with the idea of how do you interact with people who you know voted for this? Right. If you are an LGBTQ person and you know someone in your family voted essentially against your rights, or you're a woman knowing that, you know, this man was calling people the B word. J.D. Vance was literally calling Kamala Harris the trash and said, we're going to take out the trash. I know a lot of black women were incredibly triggered by that. Mm. And if you then meet somebody and you know they voted for the people who called you trash, or if you're Puerto Rican, you know someone voted that way. Do you recommend, just from a psychological standpoint, being around them? We got the holidays coming up.
So I love that you asked this question because, you know, there is a push, I think just a societal norm, that if somebody is your family, that they are entitled to your time. And I think the answer is absolutely not. So if you are going into a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, like what you said, against your livelihood. And it's completely fine to not be around those people and to tell them why, you know, to say, I have a problem with the way that you voted because it went against my very livelihood and I'm not going to be around you this holiday. I need to take some space for me. And I actually talked to, you know, adults as well as advising parents for children. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think that you should force children. I don't think you should force adults to be around people just because they're your family. I think there's a level of, you know, need to establish boundaries. And if you feel like you need to establish boundaries with people, whether they're your family or not, I think you should very much be entitled to do so. And I think it may be essential for your mental health.
Okay, I'll get to Joyless Reed in a moment, but let's get to the joy of the holidays and the joy of family, right? Well, for most of us. You know, here's what I would recommend, whether it's Thanksgiving coming up in just about 14, 15, 16 days, whatever it is, and then obviously Christmas and New Year's. Don't even rub it in their face unless they can handle it. If they can handle it and you can do it in a civil way and it's a good fun back and forth, knock yourself out, I would certainly do the same. But if they can't and they're easily triggered and offended, all you do is you show up, you bring your pumpkin pie, you bring your cranberry, whatever you got, right? You bring a bottle of bourbon, whatever you're doing for the holidays, and you just throw up your feet on the recliner, you put the NFL triple header on, and you just sip and smile. Sip and smile. And let your smile, just kill them with kindness, right? That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to get there on Thanksgiving and just like, hey, I was placed in a medically induced coma on Halloween and I missed the election results. Anybody can fill me in? Oh, Trump won. The hell you say? And then you sit back and you watch the Cowboys get beat up again. But as far as Joyless Reed goes, and I love always playing the anti stuff. I don't want to just play clips of people that agree with us and agree with me. I want to play the other side as well. But we give so much run to Joy Reid and our format in general, when the reality is she really does not resonate in ratings. The latest ratings of all the late night shows that start from 5 p.m., from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Fox, MSNBC, and CNN, she comes in like 17th in the ratings. She is a clip sensation on social media because of her stupidity and her dumb comments. But she does not draw a big audience, folks. I just want people to realize that. Like, she's probably getting more notoriety on this show than she does the people that tune in to watch her at, it was 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever time she's on at.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the things about playing these things.
It's like, and I'm not criticizing. Like, I love playing.
Well, you're giving them more attention, but I mean, yeah, right. It's fun.
No, absolutely. But, like, just know, folks, like, she is not, like, getting the fives numbers or any numbers of like some of the Fox shows. She might be, I mean, she's ahead of CNN. I think Caitlin Collins barely comes in the top 25.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine a network saying this is the future?
No.
And calling the show The Source? The source of what? Cracking the top 25?
Negative energy.
She's like a 7-4 Big Ten team. And she barely gets in the rankings.
This California public school teacher has a meltdown in class over Trump's victory. It's like a 5-minute thing where there's a lot of cursing. I just want to play the last, you know, couple of seconds of it. Where he says a bunch, this is the reason why did he win? Is where we start this tirade. Because I'm flying without a net here as usual. So if there's any cursing in here, I will bleep it out myself.
Okay,
there we go.
He win. Why did he win? He won several key states. Kamala lost Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona. These key battleground states. Why did he win them? Look. Why did he win them? Why would someone who in Wisconsin...
Just for those of you just tuning in, remember, this is a California public school teacher.
That's right. Your tax dollars hard at work.
Public school teacher, right. yelling about the election.
And by the way, if you haven't seen the California map recently, post-election, look at it 2020 versus 2024. A lot more red from the middle in towards the rest of the country. The only really significant spots were the coastal cities of San Diego, L.A., and San Francisco from south to north on your radio dial.
Vote for Joe Biden, a geriatric old Republican racist, who's running as a Democrat, Why would they all of a sudden not vote for Kamala Harris?
Wow. How about that? A geriatric old Democratic racist.
Uh-huh.
Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, well, it's funny, you know.
He likes nobody.
He recalls Joe Biden in the 90s. Remember when Joe Biden and the Democrats like Bill and Hillary in 1996 and in 2008 were talking about things like illegal aliens? And it was never really flagged as racist. And then Trump says it and all of a sudden, oh, that's a racist statement. Okay. But do we have anything else with that guy? Does he have any more? Yeah.
Who has no bad record.
Yep.
And who has effective policy for the future. Jiraiya. She has a vagina, if I use a different word. She has a vagina and uterus, and what else?
Wow.
Wow.
She has melanin. She's mixed race.
Melanin.
I'm upset. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm upset. I'm disappointed.
Sorry, that's my fault.
I'm not surprised.
Uh-huh.
That's because back in July when Joe Biden dropped down and Kamala took over, I cried for a week.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right, there you go.
School vouchers, anybody? School choice. School choice sounds like a good idea right about now. These are the unhinged liberal teachers in the public school system. And so if you've ever seen a parent that says, man, I would be all for school choice and putting my child in a place where I know this type of stuff is not going to happen, right there's your case in point. I mean, I try not to lose my mind over, you know, some of these teachers. I think most of them do a good job. Luckily so far, I mean, my daughters have been in public school. They've been in the Nashville public school system. They are now in the Wissahickon Valley School District. We have not had to encounter this yet. But something tells me that there's going to be a lot more of this in the next 4 years.
We spoke a little bit about polls and how off they were, I guess. Were they? I mean,
we were thinking razor thin or, you know, somewhat close. Didn't really. I mean, I don't. Did anybody predict that Trump would win the popular?
Well, this pollster on CNN says actually the pollsters did actually a pretty good job this time around.
Okay. Well, I gave all the poll results and the accuracy rates on Friday, if you recall.
All right, let's try this.
It's time for our panel's special takes on what's happening or predictions of what we should be looking out for. Kristen, hit me with your best shot.
I come to... Oh, God, I hate TV. Oh, Kristen, hit me with your best shot. No wonder nobody watches this stuff.
I know. I can't believe they booked my wife to give the best results. What the hell's going on here?
Today to defend my industry, the polling industry.
Right.
After this election, I know there are many Americans who feel surprised that Donald Trump swept all 7 battleground states. But the reality is, if you looked at most of the public polling averages, they did show the race very close. Now, the polls will probably wind up being off by about 1 to 2 points undercounting Trump's vote. And that does mean we as an industry need to figure out, we've tried a lot of things to make sure we're capturing Trump voters. Why do we still not get that final 2%? But gosh, that's pretty good in an era when nobody's picking up the phone. Nobody wants to tell us what they think. I think pollsters actually did pretty good this time around.
Well, I mean, if you look at most of the polls, it was Trump small margin, tied Kamala by a little smidgen. I mean, if you want to actually look at the betting market, Poly Market was actually accurate. The Kalshi and Kashi, whatever they call the other betting platform out there, it seemed like those that were in, quote, investing and gambling knew more than the pollsters did. But for the most part, short of a few outliers on both sides, right? Remember, we had the Iowa pollster. What's her name? Allison. She had Harris up by 3 points in Iowa. That looks laughable now. And, you know, some of the other polls that were out there that, you know, I guess it's Silver's not involved with it because he sold the 5-3. But there was a couple of outliers. But this to me was a major miss by the polls. I mean, 312. And according to some of the internal polling, I think, Greg, you might have sent us this story. Somebody's internal polls had stayed in the race, suggested that Trump could have reached 400 in the Electoral College.
Yes, according to Pod Save America, which the people who run that are like Democrat strategists, so they've been in this world. They said that the internal polling if Joe Biden was, when Joe Biden was in the race, had Trump winning 400 electoral votes. Electrical.
Yeah. Well,
electrical
I think Trump votes. Could do. I think Trump would win the electrical vote as well, because those workers probably want to have a better wage and more money. It really is. And you look at some of the other exit polls that are coming out. I just saw one. Let me just give you this. This is remarkable, because Harry Enten's apparently on CNN spitting his game again. It was Trump had the highest turnout for any Republican with black voters in 48 years, and he was better with Hispanics than any Republican in the 52-year history of the CNN exit polling data. That is unbelievable. So you can look, there's many different ways to slice it and dice it, why Trump won and why Harris lost. So you can look at anything, and you can start at the economy and work your way all the way down to the micro level, but yeah, it's like a buffet to pick from.
You know, I will say one thing, and I don't know about all the pollsters and the numbers, but we've been reporting since last February, March, over the summer, and even now, I have a relative, talking about this, where these Venezuelan gangs, they're here. They're in Montgomery County. They're in Chester County. I had a relative with, she has two little kids, texting back and forth, "You guys okay?" Terrified. With these attempts, and for them, thank God the dog was barking and, that sort of thing. But in the suburbs, the cops, when they come to your home, they will tell you the truth that these are the Venezuelan gangs. That's who's, and it's caught on camera and the whole thing. They're not allowed to report it. Everybody knows it. Whether you're in Bucks, Monco, Philadelphia, Delco, Chesco. And that's what's going on here. Yeah. So that you cannot pull that information.
Yep. Yeah. When you have open borders, you don't have borders. And when you don't have borders, you don't have a nation, and you don't have a sovereign country. And we all become sanctuary cities, right? I mean, by default.
But it's so personal. You know, if you've ever been burglarized or attempted burglary,
sure.
when you're home and little kids are, upstairs sleeping. And so then that one person, let's say it happens in their little cul-de-sac, and they tell all their neighbors, and they go to church and they tell friends, and now they're piecing this together. So it's not going to be covered in the news.
Mm-hmm.
We aired that 1-6 ABC report that was like last spring. And they acknowledged it. The police acknowledged it. And then everybody was stifled.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that can't be pulled, but it's something that's the truth that people are living. And for those suburban moms that everybody's saying, oh, it's the women's vote, they're having their little, 4 and 2 year olds are like sleeping with mommy and dad. Everybody's scared
mm-hmm.
of this. And that becomes so personal when you think of, hey, the current administration didn't care about me or my kids because my back door was busted.
Yep.
As these people are trying to get in. And so to me, that sort of thing was never measured in any of these polls.
I agree. All right. That'll do it for the cut sheet for now. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We'll get a big three from Dawn. I also have these football stories with the Oregon head coach and 49ers pass rusher Nick Bosa dealing with political blowback and Trump questions and Trump fines for being a Trump supporter. We'll give you those, and if we're able to get to Sean Ferris, we'll get him in. I know we do have our veteran spotlight with World War II coming up at just about 9:40 this morning. But first, a word from our friends at DuckDuckGo, because we're all sick of Google. We don't trust them. They suppress search results. They spy on you. It's just terrible. But that's why we are so proud to partner with DuckDuckGo for a second time around, the best search engine going. And they are local. And now they are taking your online privacy and security to the next level, which is why I have subscribed to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. And I'd love for you to do the same. 3-in-1 privacy service is going to give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. Secondly, they provide you identity theft restoration. I don't want anybody stealing any information, and neither do you. They will help fight back against that. And of course, the personal information removal makes life tough for the hackers and the scammers out there. Take advantage of this special offer now, exclusively for our listeners. Just go to duckduckgo.com.
/1210 for a free 7-day trial offer. And once you love it, and you will, it's just $9.99 a month. Do it today. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.